Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Yud Tes. You'll see that we've double-underlined the expression noisnin mezonos, because in this source we will deal with the placing of food or the presenting of food to a dog and to a nochri, and the ramifications that this has with regard to Hilchos Shabbos. So the source says, noisnin mezonos lefnei hakelev b'chotzer, a person can give food to a dog in his courtyard. Not lo v'yotza, ein niskokin lo. If the dog takes the food out of the chotzer, then one does not have to deal with it. He doesn't have to worry. He's not connected, not concerned with it. We should point out, just by way of background, that in general, animals are commanded by the Torah. In other words, the owners of animals are commanded not to activate the animals in service of their owners, of their Jewish owners, on Shabbos for the performance of malachas. Here we're dealing with an issue of hoitzah, of taking from the private domain of a courtyard into the street. Nevertheless, if one feeds the dog or puts food in front of the dog and the dog takes the food out to the Rishus HaRabim, there is no matter, no concern. Kayotzebo, similarly, nos nemezonos lifnei hanochri b'chotzer. A person, a Jew, can offer food to a non-Jew in a courtyard. Not lo, v'yotza ein nizkokin lo. If the Gentile takes the food out of the chotzer into the Rosh Hashanah, so we do not, it is of no concern to us. The Gemara asks, ha su lomali, hainuhach, what do we need the second case for? Is it not the same as the first case? The Gemara answers, Mahu detemo, hai romi ole, v'hai lo romi ole. One might have thought that there is a difference. The dog, so the person is obligated to take care of him. It's upon him to feed his dog. Whereas with regard to the Gentile, so he's not obligated to feed him. So in the first case, you have to feed the dog. So that's why it says noisim mezonos lifnei hakel b'chotzer. But in the second case, the Gentile, you're not obligated. It's not your obligation to feed him, and therefore I wouldn't have known that I'm allowed to give him food on Shabbos as I am allowed to give to the dog. Kamash malon. So the source reveals to us that even though you're not obligated to feed him, nevertheless you're allowed to feed him, and if he takes the food out on his own volition, for himself, to the public thoroughfare, it is of no concern to us. Tonu Rabbanan. Lo yaskir odom kelov lenochri v'shabbos. Here, we're going to deal with, as we indicate in our little topic heading on the side under the heading no say, haskoras kelim lenochri erev Shabbos, the rental of vessels to a Gentile on Friday. It's interesting, on our last daf, on daf Yud Ches, we mentioned the giving of a the selling of items and the giving of items as a gift to the Nochri. Here we're going to deal with the rental of vessels to a Nochri. And another topic that we'll discuss is Shiluach Igros Biyad Nochri Be'erev Shabbos, the sending of letters, an issue of a postal service. And once again, the backdrop of all of these Gemaras is that a Gentile is not allowed to work in service of a Jew with regard to Meleches Shabbos, including the Melech of Hoitzah. So the source begins, Tanu Rabbanan, Lo yaskir odom kelev lenochri be'erev Shabbos. A Jew is not allowed to rent vessels to a goy on Friday. B'dalad v'heimut, but on Wednesday or Thursday, that would be okay. Kayotze bo, ein mishalchen igros biat nochri be'erev Shabbos. We don't send letters with a nochi, with a Gentile, on Erev Shabbos on Friday. But alvehi mutter on Thursday, on Wednesday or Thursday, it would be okay. The closer it is to Shabbos, namely Friday, so things appear that he's serving, he's working in service of a Jew. But earlier in the week, so that there's no connection between your hiring him or your renting to him and the Shabbos day. Amru alav al Rav Yossi HaKoyen, the Amri law, another version is al Rav Yossi HaChosid, shalom nimso ksav yodo biyad nochri me'olam. He never had letters given to a Gentile, even from Sunday till from Sunday at the beginning of the week. Tana Rabbanan. We continue with the topic of postal service, of letter carrying. Tana Rabbanan, ein mishachin igeris biyad nochri erev Shabbos, elo im kein koitzitz lo idomim. One is not to send letters with a Gentile unless a fee is established at the outset. The Rashi, we look at Rashi, the third narrow line, Elohim ken kotzitz lo domim, dekivna de kotzitz lo domim, since a fee is established, b'didei torach, then the efforts that he invests in carrying the letter are for himself. It's for the Gentile. The Gentile's doing it for himself, for the fee that was established. U'beishamai lo modu b'kotzatz. Beishamai will disagree with regard to kotzatz. Dafilu b'kotzatz pligi, even where a fee is established, they will argue. Daha lo odif mi moichir u'mashir v'noisei matona. It is no better than the cases of selling, loaning, or giving a gift. Elo milsa de beis hillel ashmina de below kotzatz lo pligi de oser. What we are going to be revealing here is that with regard to shitas beis hillel, in the event that there is no establishment of a fee beforehand, beis hillel will not argue and they will agree that it's forbidden, the sending of letters erev Shabbos. So the source goes on. Beis Shammai Omrim Kedei Shiagia Lebeiso. Once again, as we saw in the Rashi, that even in the event that a fee is established, there must be enough time for the Gentile to get from on Friday to his house before the onset of Shabbos. As Rashi said, according to Beis Shammai, the issue of having established a fee makes no difference. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Kedei Shiagia Lebeis Hasamoch Lechoima. The standard that is given here, we saw on Daf Yud Ches as well, where Beis Hillel says not that he has to be able to get to his own house, but that there's enough time for him to get to the house at the outer edge of the city that's within the wall. The Gemara asks, why is there any need for any standard? V'halo kotzatz, but did they not establish a fee? It said in the source that we won't send with a Gentile unless a fee is established. So if a fee is established, what matter does it make how far he gets? As we saw before in Rashi, he at that point, when a fee is established at the outset, the Gentile is then said to be working for himself to get the money. Omar Rav Sheshes, Hochi Ka'omar. The source reads thusly. The imlo katzatz, if there was no establishing of a fee, beis shamai omrim ad shiagila beiso. The standard is that there must be enough time for the Gentile to be able to get to his house. In this case, it would be not the Gentile's house, like it was in the case of giving a gift or to the Gentile, but rather it's to the house of the one unto whom the letter was sent. And Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel Omrim, in the event that there was no establishment of a fee beforehand, Ad Shiagia Lebeis HaSamoch Lechoma. As long as there's enough time to get to the house in the outermost boundary of the city within the wall. The Gemara asks, V'ho Amris Reisho Ein Meshachin. But the Reisho said, if you just go back a few lines, it said, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, and you'll see where it said, Ein Meshachin. It said that in the event that there is no kotzatz, so there is no sending of letters. So how can you reread the source to say, if there's no establishing of fee, so then there's a certain standard. But if there's no establishing of a fee, there's no sending. Lo kashya. Still, there is no problem. If there is a bay doar, in modern Hebrew, the word bay doar is associated with a post office. Rashi here says, doar, shilton hoir, it's a governmental office. Velo regilin l'shloach igrosin, was unto him that it was customary to send letters. It could be that it's that governmental office would then distribute the letters. And if that be the case, if that understanding is correct, so then it would be parallel to a post office. So that, according to this explanation, there are several stages here. If there is no post office and there was no establishing of a fee, so then there's no sending of the letters. If there is no establishing of a fee, but there is a post office, so then letters could be sent. And if there is an establishing of a fee, so then there's no additional standard that we impose. The Rashi on Dibur Maso Shricho B'Maso, we don't have this actual text in our Gemara, but we have in the Gemara rather Kaviyo Bei Doar. Rashi says Shricho B'Maso Mishalchin below Kotzis Bechesh Yagia Shliach Lamor LeBeis Doar uLamor LeBeis Somach L'Choma. According to Beis Shammai, it would be. We have here that, according to one of the standards, we'll say, is to enough time, if in the event that there was no establishing of a letter, enough time to get to the Bei Doar. And according to the other opinion, enough time to get to the Bayis HaSomach L'Choma. The ratio de Ein Meshachin, below Kotzetz, Klal, and the ratio which spoke about no sending of letters without any fee having been established, the Lo Kaviyah B'Masa, there's no Bei Doar in the town. Ve'im Lo Yimtzenu, Yetzorach Lelech Achrov Shabbos, and if you can't find the person, then you'll have to go, you'll spend Shabbos trying to track down the person, and that's exactly what we want to avoid. As we go on in the Gemara, we enter a new topic, and on the side of the Gemara, we have under our Nosei heading, Hafloga B'yam Lifnei Shabbos, setting out to sea on Friday. So the source reads, Tor Rabbonin Ein Mafligin B'Svina Pochos Migimul Yomim Kodim L'Shabbos. One is not to set out to sea within 3 days of Shabbos. B'Med V'Mamurim L'Dvar Horoshus. This restriction is stated when the journey is a matter of personal decision, personal election. Avol Edvar Mitzvah, but if one is going on a mitzvah journey, we could say an obligatory journey to fulfill a mitzvah, then Shapir Domi. Then it's okay. Uposek imo almanas lishbos v'eino shoves divrei Rebbe. The Jew is expected to arrange with the captain that he will not sail on Shabbos. In other words, he should indicate that I'm paying for my ticket on condition that you don't sail on Shabbos. But he sails anyway. This kind of arrangement doesn't obligate the captain to anchor down the ship on Shabbos. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eino Tzorach. He says there's no need for arranging with the Gentile to cease sailing on Shabbos. Umitzor v'litzidon, a sea journey from one of these cities to the other, from the city of Tzor to the city of Tzidon, afilu be'erev Shabbos muter, is muter even on Friday. Rashi gives some background to this halacha. Umitzor v'litzidon, Rashi says, ein elo malech yoim. It's a short journey. It takes 1 day. Ube'erev Shabbos hoyosham yoim hashuk. And on Friday it was market day. So there was a need to go from the one city to the other for market day, and since they're close to one another, so there is no obligation or there's no restriction of the 3-day time period we mentioned before. but rather one can set sail even on Friday for that destination. Tonu Rabbanan Ein Tzorin. This is a new topic. The issue of laying siege on a city in war. So Ein Tzorin Ala Yoros Shel Nochrim Pochus Mishol Shiyomim Kodim L'Shabbos. If Jews are waging a battle, so they're not to set down a siege on a city within 3 days of Shabbos. Vim Hischilu, if they started, Ein Mafsikin. They don't stop. V'chein Hoya Shamay Omer Ad Ridita. Quoting this pasuk, Afilu B'Shabbos. In other words, the siege can be made even on Shabbos if it comes to that. Omar Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. Noagim hoyu v'chule. The Mishnah had mentioned that in the family of Rav Shimon Gamliel, they would not give a white garment to a washing service within 3 days of Shabbos. So here's a brisa that elaborates on that. And the general topic heading we have for this section of Gemara's Mesiras, Begadim l'koyves lefnei ha-Shabbos, the giving of clothing to the washman before Shabbos. So the source reads, Tanya, Omar Rabbi Tzadok, Kahoya min hogo shel beis Rabban Gamliel, thusly was the practice of the household of Rabban Gamliel, shoy nosnim klei lovan l'koyves gimul yomim koydim l'Shabbos. They would give white clothing in for washing 3 days before Shabbos, but not closer to Shabbos. Utsvuim, colored clothing, afilu be'erev Shabbos, even on a Friday. Umidivrayim, lomadim, from their practice, we learn shalavonim koshim lekovson yoser minatzvuim, that white clothing are harder to wash, consuming more time and effort than colored clothing. That's once again shalavonim koshim lekovson yoser minatzvuim. They are harder to wash than the colored clothing. Abaye have a yohiv lei hahu mono de tzviya lekatzra. Abaye would give a colored article of clothing to the katsra, to the washman. Omar le kama boisi luya. Abaye would ask, how much do you want for this? How much will it cost me? Omar le, so the washman said, ke de chivra. Well, the same price as we charge for the white clothing. Omar le, so Abaye says, kvar kidmuch rabbonan. The rabbonan have already preceded you, literally, or we'd say they outsmarted you. In other words, the Rabbanon already established that it's harder to wash a white garment than a colored garment. Therefore, if you were trying to charge me the same price for the colored garment as you would for a white garment, you're trying to rip me off. You're overcharging. And we know that, says Abaye, from the Rabbanon and what they established before about the difference between the time frame in which to give colored, to give in colored clothing versus white clothing. Omar Abaye, Haiman Diyoiv Mono Lekatzra, a person who is giving an article of clothing to a washman to wash, B'mashcha Nesivle U'v'mashcha Nishkol Minei. Measure, mashcha has to do with measuring. Measure the garment before you give it in and measure it after you get it back. The itafi, if it's longer, stretched out, afsidei, he's ruined it, the masche, because he stretched it, drawing it too taut. The masche is to stretch something out. The itbotzir, and if it's lesser in size than when you originally gave it in, afsidei, he's ruined it, the katsi, he caused it to shrink. V'shavin, elu v'elu, shetoanin v'chulei. We saw this in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches, that there was agreement regarding the placing of the weights upon the crushed olives and grapes. Ma'i shno kulu d'gozru b'hu b'shamai. Why in all the other examples of the Mishnah do we find b'shamai restrictive? And when it came to these beams of the olive press and the weights placed on the grapes in the wine press, that they did not impose a gzera, and they allowed setting these arrangements up Erev Shabbos. We have a topic heading that accompanies this sukkah, and it reads under the note, say, Kol midi de osi memela, things that happen on their own, shapir dummy. Then they are allowed, ubilvad shiyasil mibod yom, provided they were set up erev Shabbos. So the Gemara explains, hanoch di ovid luhu b'Shabbos mechayev chatos. The other examples of the Mishnah, if you were to do those procedures, one would be in violation of a Torah level precept, and if done unwittingly, would have to bring a sin offering. Gozru b'hura b'shamay erev Shabbos im chashecha. B'shamay said, don't do those things even erev Shabbos, close to Shabbos. However, koros b'is habad v'yulei hagas, the example that Beis Shammai is lenient on and concedes leniency, the weights in the olive press and the wine press, the ovidu b'Shabbos, if you were to place these weights on the crushed olives and grapes on Shabbos day itself, loy mechayev chatos, that itself would not generate or constitute a Torah violation, lo gazru, they did not impose a rabbinic restriction doing it erev Shabbos. We have to analyze this a bit. what makes it such that if you were to do it on Shabbos itself, it would not be a Torah violation? Does it not look like the act of grinding or of squeezing of schita? Does it not look like those avos melachos? So the Gemara says, asks, man tana de chomidi dosim emela shab yodomi. Who is the tana that says, that authors this concept that we are working with right now, that says that things that would happen on their own, in other words, the liquids that come out of the olives and the grapes, would have come out anyway. So things like that you are allowed to set up to happen, maybe more effectively, but by having the weights on them, that is allowed. Let's look at the Rashi before we go on. The osi memela kagon mashkin halolu, these liquids, the grape juice that would come forth and the olive oil that comes forth, shenishoten me'alehen, that are squeezed out on their own, ubavashi asim ube'olion, provided you set it up erev Shabbos. So who is the author of this idea? I think we should emphasize, as we may have done in the past, that you're dealing with olives and grapes that have already been crushed. So the primary, I would like to call it the av melacha, was already done to them, of course, during the weekday. And here it's just a question of putting these weights on things that were already crushed. So we're saying that's okay. This is called midi de'osim emela, liquids that would come out anyway. So the question right now, who is the author, which Tana would allow that? Omar Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Notice we have a triangle here and a number 1 indicating that there is a number 2, and you'll see that's Rabbi Elazar highlighted on the top of Amud Beis. Each one of these Amoroyim, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Elazar, are offering their opinions as to who the Tana that we, who is the Tana that we are looking for right now. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina says, Rabbi Yishmoel he, and we've used this this double underline marking in order to highlight the Tana that we'll call the chosen Tana that each one mentions respectively. So he says Rabbi Shmuel is the Tana Disnan. We have a Tanaic source, Hashum Vaboiser Vamlilos. These are three different items. Shum is often translated as garlic. Bosar, Rashi explains, are grapes that are not fully developed, and a liquid comes forth from them that people use as a dip in which they dip their meat, and it's a very strong type of acrid substance. And melilos, Rashi describes as grains, stalks of grain that haven't fully matured. And people grind these melilos in for the liquid that oozes forth from them. It's also used as a dip. So these things, the shum, boisar, melilos, sherisko, nibod yom, that were crushed Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, we've dashed underline his name because we are focusing on him, Yigmor Mishetechshach. Rashi says, Yigmor me'achar sheroskan v'tzovron b'koivid, yanichon b'kelim v'yetzu me'atzmom umutur l'chadchila. Once these items have been crushed, so you can have them finish off the oozing out process after Shabbos already sets in, since they've already been crushed and been piled up, so they can be placed in vessels and the liquids will come out on their own, and it's quite allowed. So totally allowed l'chatchila to do that. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo yigmor. Rashi says at the top, lo yigmor osur lanichom mibod yom tachas koivdon kidei ligmor mishetechshach. Rabbi Akiva is strict. He says you can't place them under the weight in order for them to continue their oozing out on Shabbos. Of course, we're talking about the placing of the weight on these substances erev Shabbos, with the intent that it continues through Shabbos oozing out. So Rabbi Shmuel allows it, and then that would be the author of, he would be the basis for our Mishnah, in which we saw that Beis Shammai Hillel agree that you're allowed to set up this weight situation in order for the liquids to ooze out. Bear in mind that our Mishnah dealt with grapes and olives, and this source deals with other substances, but at this point in our learning, there's a common theme. The Gemara continues here at the top of Omid Beis, Rabbi Elozer Omer. Rabbi Elozer, he don't be confused with the names. Rashi is quick to point out that the name that we have in our triangle is an Amora, and he's introducing the Tano Rabbi Elozer. The Amora's name is Rabbi Elozer ben Pedos, and the Tano that is referred to is Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua. They are obviously two different people from different generations. They just happen to have the same name. So Rabbi Elozer, the Amora, says it's the Tano Rebbe Elozer. Desnan, Chalos Dvash Shiriskon, Be'erev Shabbos. Chalos Dvash have to do with the, with literally honey loaves that are found in a beehive. They are basically made of, it's a wax substance, and within them there is honey. So these chalos dvash, these honey loaves that are, as we say, made of wax, that were crushed erev Shabbos, and the honey came out of them. The honey comes out of them on Shabbos. So the Tanakhama says osur, Rabbi Elozer matir. What we've tried to do with our markings is highlight the main points. You have here yotzu me'atzmon. This is oozing out on its own. That's the expression that the Gemara used before. The things that are midi de'osi memela, things that come out on their own. Here the honey is oozing out on its own. Since the honey loaves were crushed erev Shabbos, they're going to ooze out on their own through Shabbos. Rabbi Elozer matir. So now what the Gemara wants to do is to analyze the two Amoroim, these two names in triangles. Why is it that each one did not suggest what the other one said by way of authorship? So before we go on in the Gemara, just take note. Here we have squiggle underline Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, and in a diamond we highlight my time alone Rabbi Elozer. Why did he not say like his colleague Rabbi Elozer? And further down, you'll notice a number of lines later on the Omid. You have Rabbi Elozer, who he squiggled underlined, and then a diamond, my taima lo omar karebi yosi rebbe chanina. So we continue in our Gemara, and we'll be using this squiggle underline marking to highlight the two Amoroim's names as we go through a type of give and take in the Gemara. So the Gemara's question here is, why did Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina not say like Rabbi Elazar? In other words, Rabbi Yossi did not suggest that the author of Kol Milsa de Osi Memela is Mutter. He didn't suggest Rabbi Elazar is the author of that. Omar Loch, so Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina will explain. He says, Hosam Hu, in the case of the Chalos Dvash, De Meikora Oichel Ulebesof Ochel. There, that the fact that he is mekil, that he is lenient in the case of Chalos Dvash, doesn't indicate that he would be mekil in our case of Anovim and Zesim. Why? In the case of the Chalos Dvash, it starts out as something classified as Ochel. Ochel, we'll say food. And at the end, it's also food. In other words, you have Chalos Dvash and the Dvash. Both of these substances are classified as ochel. In other words, it didn't undergo any status change. So therefore, where there's no status change, we can see room for leniency. However, here, in the Mishnah's case of Zeisev Anovim, Meikora Oichel V'Hashto Mashke, it starts out as food, meaning olives and grapes. We call them a food substance. And now, as the liquid comes out, it becomes a mashke. That's a status change. It's classified as a liquid. And as far as honey and its classification, so just to keep things simple, honey is classified as an oichel, even though for many of us one imagines dripping honey. Don't forget, the honey, if you put it, let's say, in a cold environment, it actually solidifies. So honey is not classified in our Gemara as a mashke. That's as far as the simple pshat is concerned. Therefore, the case of going from chalos dvash to dvash is not a major change, and therefore someone could be lenient about that. But that same Rebbe Elazar was lenient in the case of the honey, would not necessarily be lenient in the case of going from grapes and olives to the liquid that oozes out. So there he may very well have made a gezerah not to set it up on Shabbos, and therefore Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina did not want to cite Rabbi Elazar as the author. Rabbi Elazar, Omar Loch, Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, responds, listen, you can't dismiss the Tana Rabbi Elazar as an author of our Mishnah. Hoshamina later Rabbi Elazar, Dafilu Zesim Vanovin Nami Shari. We have a source in which we find that very same Tana Rabbi Elazar being lenient and allowing it. The Hawk, he also Rabbi Hoshaya Minahardo. Also, Vaisi Masnisa Biode, when Rabbi Hoshaya came from the city of Nahardo, he brought with him a Tanaic source that reads as follows. Zeisim Anovim Shirisko Me'erev Shabbos. Mind you, it's the same case as the Mishnah. V'yotsu Me'atzmon, and the liquids came out throughout Shabbos on their own. Asurin, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Tiran, we've emphasized with our dashed underline Rabbi Elazar because that's the focus of our discussion, and he is Matir. He allows. So that Rabbi Elazar could very well be the author, insofar as he is not restricted in his leniency to the case of going from Oichel to Oichel, but we see him going from Oichel to Mashkim as well. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty clear. It's very convincing. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, who did not cite Rabbi Elazar as author of the idea behind our Mishnah, Braisa Lo Shmiele, he was unfamiliar with this Tanaic source. Now we turn to the shita on the top of our omid, where we had a triangle. Rabbi Elazar, my time alo Omar, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Elazar, who chose as author of our Mishnah the Tana Rabbi Elazar, why did he not choose Rabbi Shmuel from the source of Shum and Melilois that we saw at the bottom of Omid Aleph? Omar Loch, so Rabbi Elazar answers. Lav itmar alo, Omar Rova bar Chanina om Rabbi Yochanan. Was it not said by Rova regarding the case of the Shum and Melilos? And in that source, we had seen a machlokas Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yishmael was lenient, and Rabbi Kiva was restrictive. But now, concerning that source, the following was said. There are different stages in the crushing of these substances. The first stage is called dika. That's an initial crushing. And then there's a later stage called shchika, which is a finer, say, crushing or grinding than dicha. So, if the, let's say, the case of the shumim lilos were not in the dicha stage, they hadn't been exposed to this to that level of crushing, then everyone, kuli amalo pligi, everyone will agree, that's Rabbi Shmuel as well, will agree, the usser, the lo pligi, namely, they will not argue, and will agree that it's forbidden to have them, let's say, set under a weight on Shabbos for their liquids to ooze out. Ki pligi, when does the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva arise? B'mechusorin shchika. In other words, the shum and lilos have been subjected already to dicha. They've been crushed, but they haven't been ground up yet. So they're missing shchika. Then you'll find Rabbi Shmuel being lenient. However, v'hani nami, the zesim and anovim in our Mishnah, kemechusarim dika damu, they are considered as lacking the earlier stage of crushing as well, and therefore even Rabbi Shmuel would aser. Therefore, if you want to find someone who is mekil, you'll have to come on to say, as Reb Elozer said, you'll have to say it's the Tano Rebbe Elozer. The Gemara continues, Hoira Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Chanina, Karebi Yishmael. Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Chanina ruled like Rabbi Yishmael, which would mean that if you had the Shum Bosar Lilos that had been exposed to Dicha, you're allowed to have them continue being under a weight throughout Shabbos for the more liquids to ooze forth. Shemen shel badodin u'machtzolos shel badodin. Shemen shel badodin, Rashi explains, Aidi da'iri bebeis abad, since we were speaking about an olive press, nokat le shemen ha'mishtar bezovius abad. This is oil that accumulates in the corners of the oil press, tachas ha'te'ino, under the weight, v'hu nitan lebadodim, that's given to the, it's left for the owners of the presses, v'chein machtzolos shel badodim, shemechasin bohen esazesim. Likewise, the mats that were used to cover the olives. So these things, the shemen of badodin and the mats that are used to cover the olives in the press, Rav Osar Ushmuel Shoy, Rav Asers, moving them around on Shabbos, they're considered muktzah. And Shmuel allows them because he does not hold from the muktzah restriction. Rashi makes a point that Rav holds like the Tana Rebbe Yehuda that says there is a concept of muktzah, items that have no basic use on Shabbos, so they're considered not, they're considered muktzah, that's a special classification, has very broad ramifications, and hence the restriction of moving them. And Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Shimon, that doesn't hold from that concept, and therefore it's mutter to move them around on Shabbos. Continuing in the Gemara, Hani Karchi Dezuzi, we have another example of a machlokes. The word Karchi Dezuzi, that expression Rashi explains, Zug Shel Machtzolos, a pair of mats, Shemechasin Wenze Pragmati Shosvina, that were used as, we would say today, a tarpaulin to cover merchandise that is shipped in on boats. The word zuzi in this case is a reference to Lashon Zug, Rashi says, a pair, Fishein Shtayim. So there are two of them, Vasuyus Ke'oihel. So the two mats, it seems that they form something that has a tent-like look to them. So these are the mats used for covering merchandise in boats. Rav Osar Ushmuel Shari. Once again, the machlokes between these two Amoroyim regarding the din of muktza. Omar Rav Nachman, Eiz Lechalova. Here we're going to be speaking about the inyonim, the matters concerning Muktzah, but also having Yom Tov in mind as well. So a goat, Eiz L'chalova, it's a goat that's used for milking. V'rochel L'gizasa, a sheep that's raised for its wool. V'tarnegolus L'beitzatza, a chicken that's raised for its egg production. V'turi D'ridya, oxen that are used for plowing. V'tamri D'iska, dates that are stored for sale as opposed to personal use. Rav Osar Ushmuel Omar Mutar. Rav says that these are mukta, and you wouldn't be allowed to slaughter them on Yom Tov. And Shmuel says you can take any of these items, the animals, for example, that were mentioned, and slaughter them. And the dates you can use, you can move around as well. The komiflugi, the machlokis Rav and Shmuel, the pluktasah, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. They, as we said before, and when we noted the Rashi, they parallel the machlokis Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds there is a muktzah restriction on Shabbos, and Shmuel, and Rabbi Shimon, who says no. So Rav parallels Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel, who is lenient, parallels Rabbi Shimon. Hahu talmida, there was a student. The Ori that issued a halachic ruling, Bacharsa de Argiz. Charsa is the name of a place. The Argiz is a person who built that particular city. So for our purposes, Charsa de Argiz is a place, a name of a place. So there was a Talmud in Charsa de Argiz that ruled Kerebi Shimon, who ruled leniently like Rebbe Shimon. Shamte Rav Hamuna, and Rav Hamuna excommunicated him. The Gemara asks, "V'hok Rabbi Shimon Sviralon?" But we hold like Rabbi Shimon. So, on what grounds did Rav Hamuna put him in excommunication for ruling like that which we hold? Answer: Ba'asrei de Rav Have. That was a town that Rav was the legal authority there. Lo ibayale lemevad hochi. He shouldn't have issued a ruling contrary to the practice of Rav, who, as we said, was the legal head of that community. Whereas in that community, Rav was the accepted authority. So that even though in general we may hold like Shmuel, but when you're in a locale under the following the practices of Rav, you shouldn't rule to the contrary. Hani Trei Talmidi, Chad Matzil B'Chad Mona, V'Chad Matzil B'Arba V'Chomesh Moni. This concept of matzil has to do with saving in the case of the outbreak of a fire. So one would save food from the fire in chadmon in one vessel, and one would save food in four or five different vessels. This Gemara is very, very terse, and it's alluding to a machlokus, as a Gemara says here, v'komiflegi v'plukta d'rabba bar zavda v'rafuna. These two Talmidim and their respective legal rulings parallel the controversy between Rabba Bar Zavda and Rav Huna. Rashi mentions briefly on this topic, Chad Matzil, Rashi says, Oichun umashkin mitnei adleka harbei l'chotzer mureves. Then he would save a lot of food and drink because of a fire in one chotzer, and bring it into a neighboring chotzer where there's an eruv between the two chotzers, enabling one to carry from one chotzer to another. Bechad mona kidesnan matzilin sal molei kikros v'afagav sheyesh bo mea sudos. In other words, you could pile into one basket much more food than you actually need, but you're piling it all into one basket. And you'll then drag that basket into the next chotzer. The chad matzav arba v'chomesh moni, elo shemekaplon kulon l'soich kli gadol, v'noison b'pam achas. The other one speaks about placing all the food that you're saving into several different smaller units, but then you'll fold all of them into one large unit and carry them out together. V'komitlegi v'peri kokis v'akodesh we. At this point, in the context of our Gemara markings here, we'll simply suggest that we wait till Perek Kol Kisvei to see this particular controversy in greater detail. The Mishnah. Ein Solim Basar Batzul Beitza Elikadesh Yitzolu Mibol Yom. This topic we discussed at some length already on Daf Yud Ches, the issue not setting up the roasting of these items unless the roasting would take place Erev Shabbos. Einos and pas letano im chashecha. One is not to put bread into an oven very close to the Shabbos. Lo charor agabi gacholem, nor place a loaf on coals. Ela kadei shiyikunu ponel mibaod yom. Unless there's enough time for a crust to develop on Friday. Rebbe Elazar omer kadei shiyikrom tachton shela. He wants the bottom face of it to become crusty. Mishalshin es haPesach b'tanur im chashecha. One can, the word mishalshin means lower into. So you have the korban pesach, which is a complete animal; it hasn't been dismembered. It's a complete sheep or goat, which was offered as a pesach sacrifice. So one can lower it into the tanur right before the onset of Shabbos, and you're talking about Friday is the 14th of Nisan, and you can set it up so that the roasting takes place the night of Shabbos night. Umachizen esur b'meduras beis hamoked. The beis hamoked was a lishka, a chamber. In the Beis HaMikdash, adjacent to the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a fire there that was burning in there for the Kohanim to derive warmth. And there was a constant fire burning there because the Kohanim were obligated to walk barefoot on a stone floor, which could be cold at times, and therefore there was a need for this fire in the Beis HaMoked. Now, so here we say Machizen Esaur. Now Rashi explains Me'at Be'etzim Shemaduras Beis HaMoked. Machizen has to do with making little by little the fire to burn. So that's Machizen Esaur Be'maduras Beis HaMoked. So you're starting off the fire in this chamber, the Beis HaMoked chamber. Continuing at the top of Daf Chof, u'begvulin kedei shetechos ha'ur berubo. When your gvulin means outside the Beis HaMikdash, if you needed to have a fire going through Shabbos, you would have to have it started on Erev Shabbos to the extent that the majority is burning on Friday. So there's a distinction between the fire in the Beis HaMoked, where just a little bit was necessary to get it started. Or we should say just a little bit is sufficient for the halacha in so far as getting it started on Friday, and it will continue burning more and more through Shabbos, whereas outside the Beis HaMikdash we are more strict and require rubo, the majority, to be burning. Rabbi Yehuda Omer bepechomen kolshu. If you're not dealing with logs but you're dealing with coals, then it's a fireplace made of coals as its fuel, then just a little bit of it getting started would be enough. Rashi says at the second line from the top here on Daf Chof, Rav Yehuda Omer, Im hoysa meduras pechomen, ein tzorach lahachiz bohen ha'ur elo kolshihu. All that's necessary as far as getting the fire started is just a bit. V'hi dolekes v'oleches, and it will continue to burn. V'ein darkulias kova v'oleches. The nature of a coal-based fire is such that it doesn't go out, get extinguished on its own, and therefore there's no need for stoking it. Therefore, we can take our chances, so to speak, and allow even a little bit to be ignited before Shabbos as being sufficient. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.